Well, it's really good to see you. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for leading us this morning. Thank you, kids, for helping the rest of us adults to loosen up a little. So my name's Gary. I'm the lead pastor here at Westview. It's good to see you, those that are here, those that are joining us by live stream. One of the things that we do here, that I do here regularly during this sort of what you could call a church version of a TED Talk, is what it basically amounts to, is that I pause part of the way through this time to take your questions. And we have an address, ask@westviewchurch.ca, and you can text or email your questions to ask@westviewchurch.ca, and we take your questions live. Or you stand where you are, and we bring a microphone to you, and you can ask your questions. We will be pausing that this morning, but we're going to start it back up again next Sunday. And next Sunday, as Tyler says, begins that series you asked for, where we're looking at spiritual health and what does Scripture actually say about heaven and hell. And I can tell you right now, most of us have an erroneous concept of it. So that should be an invitation. But I will pause during next Sunday for question and response, and you can text and we'll take those questions live. So distracted driving. Celebrate distracted driving. I'm a runner, I'm a bicycler, I'm a motorcycler, so I spend lots of time outside and on the road, and I can attest to the fact that distracted driving is alive and well. It's actually a law now that it's a criminal offense that was established September 1st, 2011 in Alberta. Just 3 years after the smartphone came out. It didn't take very long. I'm sure there was distracted driving prior to that, but a couple of years after the smartphone was out, that became a criminal offense. But it hasn't stopped us from living distracted lives. We continue to live incredibly distracted lives. And we know, for example, that even if you're driving your vehicle, we know by experience that wherever your eyes turn, that's where you tend to steer. And that's the case in life. Wherever your attention is drawn, that's where you tend to go in that direction. That's the same with our minds. No wonder then that smartphones, internet, and all this online stuff. I actually will just confess something to you here. I was scrolling Facebook, and I used to be a lot more into it. I'm less now. But I was scrolling Facebook, and there was a meme. There was a picture of a dog that said, essentially I'm paraphrasing, but looking for people who are wasting their time scrolling Facebook. And then the next picture was a dog looking right at me. But this isn't a new phenomenon. Distraction and drawing our attention is something that has been part of the human condition for thousands of years. Now, the distractions have changed, but the penchant to wander has always been in existence. So we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this fully man, fully God, human being that lived and was crucified on a cross and then rose again from the dead. And to be sure, he appeared to more than 500 people after his resurrection. Most of them were even still alive when the written account was produced. Within the same generation, 25, 30 years, the book of Hebrews was written. And at that time already, 30 years from this amazing account of Jesus rising from the dead, people were hearing about this. They were being taught about the supremacy of Jesus, the sufficiency of Jesus. And thousands of people were converting, if you will, from Judaism or various forms of idol worship, and they were changing over their lives and deciding and making a decision to follow this Jesus. through the spread of word that was taking place with disciples and those who had been with him. And these churches gathered, groups of churches, as they call them, gathered groups of Jesus followers were assembling together. But then as life would have it, life started getting, you know, continued to be difficult, and people needed help, and people particularly needed healing in various forms and all that that means. And they were distracted by the world around them, and they were being tempted to revert back to Judaism or revert back to worshiping idols. And so the author of the book of Hebrews that we're going to look into, the author, early into this, he begins to appeal to these people that had said yes to following Jesus, and he appeals to them, and I can hear him kind of like stomping his foot and going, hey, pay attention. Pay attention to Jesus and to the message of Jesus. But why would the author and why would the disciples and why would people like the Apostle Paul talk about Jesus? What uniquely, what exactly qualifies Jesus or makes Jesus fit to be a helper or a healer? Why is Jesus fit to be a healer or a helper? Now, when I talk about distracted or distraction, distraction is a form of moving our attention from something and to something. Distraction is a way of getting our attention and having our attention get drawn away from something, but also toward something. It is always both. Your attention is always moving from and to. And as we think about this aspect of distraction, we realize that, yes, it is something that it could be healthy, and it could be unhealthy. Healthy or unhealthy distraction depends a lot on what you are being drawn toward and what you're being drawn away from. There is plenty, even in our current day, in our current week, in the current time that we're in, that is vying for your attention and mine. There are wars. There are elections. There are economic factors that are vying for our attention. And then personally, we all have stories. There are personal circumstances of life. Our vocations, our jobs, our families, our own health, circumstances that are drawing, vying for our attention. And what is clear, as it was 2,000 years ago, and what is clear today, is that we need help. Help is a powerful motivator for getting our attention. But I want to put an even finer point on it. I want to say this morning that not only is it help that we need, but it is healing. And healing is different than help. Healing has the connotation of a remedy, a restoration, a returning to what is good. And it is healing that we need in all aspects of our lives. But for healing to actually come to fruition, it requires proper diagnosis. Proper diagnosis means coming to understand and to identify both the cause of the ailment or the cause of the malady and also the locale of it. And when there is a proper diagnosis, the diagnosis informs our course of action. But here is the interesting thing, and this speaks to the matter of distraction, is that what presents is not necessarily the location or the cause of the problem. And so you can see how dangerous distraction is for us, because we are distracted to the point where we are unable to, or we have improper diagnostics. We're not able to diagnose the actual location and the cause of the malady and the healing. And so we're also distracted from the one who can actually heal. And so this morning, as we go into the book of Hebrews, as the writer, the author of it, is stomping his foot and saying, hey, pay attention, because of his love for them, I too am here this morning shouting in a dulcet tone, but nevertheless pleading with all of us to pay attention to the message of Jesus Christ. Why exactly is Jesus uniquely qualified as healer? If you have your Bibles or an app, you can turn to it, to the book of Hebrews. It's near the end of your Bible. If you go Revelations, you can work your way, Revelation, you can work your way backwards, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John, 1st and 2nd Peter, James, Hebrew, if that works. Or you can just listen to Hebrews chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. So the writer is doing something here that I want to draw attention to, and that is he is making it very clear that we live, the context we live in is one of a, what I call a cosmic battle or a spiritual battle. There is this conflict that is going on depicted in this diagram that God has created. For example, he's created this created order, but there are angels that rebelled against him and created this sort of entourage of wicked spirits. And there is this realm of spirits and angels and so on. And there is this conflict between God and these wicked spirits. And that is this cosmic battle. And it overlaps with our existence here. And the devil, the head of this gang, a crew of wicked spiritual forces, is like the bully on the playground of our lives. And though we cannot see them, we see the effects of both the wicked spirits and we see the effects of the Holy Spirit. And the aim and the threat of these wicked spirits and the devil, the aim and the objective is quite simple. Ultimately, it is death. And the tools that are used are that of violence. Pay attention to this. Listen, the tools of wickedness are violence. So as an aside, if we ever subscribe to any form of violence, we are now in cahoots with the spiritual forces of wickedness. Violence has no play in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, or in God's kingdom. Violence, but ultimately death as the weapon. Death is the ultimate, of course, the ultimate of violence. And so I'm going to try and demonstrate as we go here. I have those diagrams on the screen, but I'm also going to try and illustrate as I go what we're talking about here. So the writer said that Jesus destroyed the devil. Now, by that, it must necessarily mean, it couldn't mean that the devil is ended, because the devil is still alive and kicking along with those spiritual forces of wickedness, doing all kinds of things. What he is saying by this is when he says destroyed, he has destroyed the weaponry of the devil. He has de-weaponized, he has taken away the effective power, the ultimate tool from the devil, which is death itself. He has rendered the effects, he has rendered the work of the devil as invalid. And how he has done that Well, if I bring out this liquid, could represent death, could represent, you know, sin, we'll get to that, representing death. So God the Spirit took on human form. He did that without compromising himself, his holiness. That's called hypostatic union. On another sermon, another occasion, I would love to demonstrate that scientifically, how that's possible. I just didn't have space and time to do that this morning. But God the Spirit took on human form. Jesus always existed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus always existed. But what happens is that he takes on human form. He takes on the complete humanness as well. And what the writer is saying in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15 is that he destroyed the devil, which is he destroyed and made ineffective the work of Satan, which is death. And he did that by taking on death itself. To no effect. He took death, but it had no effect. You could also say there was no sin in him. That is Jesus as victor. Are you with me? Somebody give me an amen. I just got to check. All right, I'm just checking. Just checking. Is this thing on? The reason he did this so in this major display was because as they and as we are, the reality is that there is a fear of death. I was running just a little while back, a week or two ago, and there's this gentleman, a wonderful senior gentleman, and he walks a lot. He walks a lot. And I met with him, and we started talking about different things, and then I don't know how we got onto the subject of Passion Week, etc. But I asked him, he's an older gentleman, and he used to walk with a cane, now he walks with a walker. He walks 6 miles a day on average. And I said, so, dude, why do you do that? And he said, because I don't want to die. And we inherit this fear of death. But what Jesus did in order to display on the cross and absorb and say that's done with is in order to free us from the fear of death. Paul writes to the Galatians, it is for freedom's sake that Christ set you free. What I said on Good Friday is, if you hear nothing else from me this morning, what God wants you to do is not be afraid of death anymore. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he doesn't want you to fear death anymore. And if you still do, then this morning I want you to cash the check. Because he's taken it on and he's defeated it. But why in this way? Why go to the cross? Why this public display? Why a human on the cross? Well, let's go to verse 16. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. So this is where the divine diagnosis comes in. So the cause of death and the cause of sin in the first instance is the devil and the spiritual forces of wickedness. The location of the battle is humankind. The location is among us. That's where the battle is working itself out. That's the divine diagnosis. And we know the Bible has taught us a lot about anthropology. A biblical perspective of anthropology can be seen in this graphic. We know that we are relational, we are physical, and we have cognition. And then there is this spiritual aspect. All of that together forms our entire spiritual lives. And we are conflicted in these areas at different times and in different ways. So the Lord Jesus took on human form in all manner of speaking. And there is sin. There is sin being a form of separation. Anything that is said or done that separates us from God or moves us away from God is a form of sin, whatever that is. And we can have some sin and some difficulty in any one of these areas, relationally, physically, mentally, spiritually. And what happens is that enters into our lives. And that's the reality of how we're living our lives. Sometimes okay, sometimes not okay. Sometimes there are things I say, sometimes there are things I do, and that draws us away from the Lord. Not because of rules, but because of this relationship that we're meant to have, and the things I do move us away from that relationship. And then we sometimes think to ourselves, well, okay, you know what? Maybe if I just do some good things, maybe if I make my bed, or maybe if I help my mom set the table, maybe if I'm kind or gentle or good, those are wonderful things, but works or actions do not remove sin in our lives. When we do something patient, kind, good, gentle, that's fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit enables that in us, but when we act on that, it's because of our relationship with Jesus, not because it's a way to get the relationship with Jesus, but it's because we're like so grateful and so thankful and so wonderfully relieved in His grace and mercy that we conduct ourselves this way. We want to follow the way He lives, not just a ticket, as Tyler says, a golden ticket from, a chocolate box that gets us to heaven. So there's no amount of works or things that we can do. So we ask, well, why did He have to come this way? He came this way because He absorbed and took all of that, and He alone then is the one who can That's atonement. That's Jesus as witness, who lived a human life physically, mentally, relationally, emotionally, spiritually. He took what the devil had to offer, which is death. He absorbed it, was the victor over it. And He witnesses our life. He witnesses the trauma in your life. He witnesses the suffering in your life. And He sees that, and He wants to know that as you receive His story, He is receiving your story. He is a witness to it. He is an empathetic witness that is hardly reaches it. He has loving solidarity with those who suffer and experience trauma. And it's tragic that people even experience religious trauma. But He is a witness. Self-giving, self-sacrificing witness. The writer of Hebrews finishes this section in verse 18 by saying this: because He Himself was tested by what He suffered, He is able to help those who are being tested. Why is Jesus uniquely qualified as healer? Because He lived the complete human experience to the extreme and won. He completed the journey successfully. Thanks be to the Holy Spirit who was at work within Him. The word healer in Greek is boetheo. It has the name of God in it, theo. Boetheo, healer. Healer, heal, atone, forgive. It is not that the nature of God was changed. It is that the nature of human beings has changed. We didn't change the attitude of God who was once angry and is now loving. the human condition has changed. For those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and say, yes, I want to have Jesus in my life, I want to follow Jesus as Lord, your nature changes by the work of the Holy Spirit. It isn't that the nature of God has now changed. So the reason that Jesus is uniquely qualified as healer is precisely because he is witness and he is victor. There is only and will ever only be one who is witness and victor, and that is Jesus Christ, and he is our healer. He lived the human existence to the extreme and won over it. That's witness. That's the battle. He took on the devil and the spiritual forces of wickedness that riled up a crowd to such an extent that they decided that they would kill him. He took all of that on, and on the third day, the Lord Jesus Christ raised him up from the dead. He's victor, and that is why he can be healer, why he is healer. When we say mercy, that is that God withholds something that would otherwise be ours. If it weren't for Jesus, then all of that would be coming toward us. But by God's mercy, Jesus. But not only this, it is by God's grace. Grace is that he gives us something that we don't necessarily merit or deserve. By his grace, he gives us freely this opportunity to be healed. That's God's grace. And it's clear from this, as the writer says, he didn't do this for the sake of the angels. He did this for the sake of human beings. He did this for the sake of you and me, to restore and have relationship with us. As mind-boggling as that is, the Creator of the universe desires to be in relationship and fellowship with us and many thousands and millions of others as well. When we say the word saved or salvation, it actually comes from a Greek root word, which is sozo. And what's fascinating to me, and it was introduced again when Peter and John were brought in front of the Sanhedrin, essentially the Supreme Court of their day, in 50 AD or so, they were brought in front of the Sanhedrin, this Supreme Court, and they had healed somebody. Somebody had been healed physically. And they asked these two fishermen, not highly educated, they hadn't been to seminary, but they asked him, like, how did this happen? And Peter responds, if you're asking me today how this person has been sozo, saved, it is through the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is nobody on no other name by which we can be sozo, which is the word healed and saved are enmeshed together. The sozo means it's inseparable. Saved and healed go together. Peter knew this. John knew this. The disciples understood this. It is, yes, science, yes, medicine, absolutely. But when there is something deeper going on, proper diagnosis is required, and attention to the one who is uniquely qualified to heal the place, the locale that needs healing, and that is Jesus Christ. And that requires us to make a choice. We have to choose. We have to choose. Jesus did this for people. But as Paul writes in 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all. The just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. So all of us here on live stream, in our neighborhoods, all of us everywhere, we have a choice before us. There's a choice that we make in a moment in time, a punctiliar moment, and then there is a choosing that we make on the daily course of our lives. We are continually choosing. Are we choosing the healer? Are we choosing Jesus to follow him in the way he lived and in the way he conducts himself and so on? Yes, in the moment. Yes, I want to have Jesus as my Lord, my captain in that moment, but also on a daily basis is a choice that we make. It's up to you. And we know that hurt people, we also know that healed people join the healer in helping to heal people. And the Lord has an appointment with you this morning as healer to heal. It doesn't mean that our scars and our wounds are diminished or dismissed. The scars and the wounds that you have are a reality. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he still had the scars from the crucifixion, and his disciples could observe them. In fact, it was Thomas who said, "I won't believe it until I can see and test those scars." And so he did. And he tested them. But now, friends, brothers and sisters, if Jesus is healer and he is willing and offering to heal you, it means that those scars aren't diminished or dismissed, but they no longer have sway and power and influence in your life when you lay them down at the foot of the cross. That's what Jesus is offering. Do not carry trauma. Do not carry suffering. Do not carry these things in your life when the Lord has desired to set you free. To follow him the days of your life. Jesus is in the center of that cosmic battle. But the invitation, my invitation to you this morning is to say yes to follow Jesus. But my invitation to you this morning is, if you haven't yet already said yes to follow Jesus, to receive him as Lord and Savior of your life, my invitation is that you would do that this morning. My invitation to you also is, if you've done that at some point in your life, but you have been stumbling and getting back up and you've been wrestling and you've been having difficulty, then my invitation to you is this morning that you're going to take some time, in a minute we're going to take some time, and that you're going to make a recommitment this morning. 2025, April 20th, you're making a recommitment. Whatever stage, whatever level, you're saying, you know what, I'm putting a fence post in, I'm recommitting my life, I want to follow Jesus, and I want healing in my life. Because the invitation isn't even the end of the gospel message. What happens when you do that, the gospel message completed, is also that you become part of the gospel message. When you say, yes, I want to have Jesus in my life as Lord and Savior, and I want to follow him each day as best I can by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, then you become part of God's mission to reestablish peace on earth wherever you go. You become part of the gospel. His invitation isn't just to hand out tickets. His invitation is to join him in that work. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When he says the way, it isn't just the way, it's the way. And you become part of that healing process because healing people join the Lord in healing people. Would you become part of the gospel message this morning? It's difficult. It's a difficult journey. I was reading one female author from Calgary, and she said, "I didn't realize that following Jesus was so tough because it requires us to love people and to forgive people, like without strings attached, to just give grace and mercy." She said, "I prefer Christian light. I want to, like, get my ticket and then just have a nice cup of coffee and still, you know," now I'm going to paraphrase here, "but still kind of, you know, flip people off and get upset all the time. I Christian light." But following Jesus is, Jesus said, "Take up your cross." He said, "Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." daily, actually, as recorded in Luke. If you want to follow me, take up your cross daily. What happens, friends, as you see, is that green circle, it begins to expand over top. The kingdom begins to move. The green begins to move. The kingdom begins to advance. When you become part of the gospeling, we take inches, right? And Scripture says that the gates of hell can't prevail, because as U20 and U20 and 50 and more, when you follow Jesus, you are advancing the kingdom on earth. You are encroaching on the territory of the spiritual forces of wickedness, and the gates of hell can't prevail. So it's moving when you become part of the gospel message. And someday, when Jesus returns, because he is somewhere right now, again, so much that we could go into, boggles the mind. He is located somewhere right now, but when he returns, he is going to establish finally, once and for all, shalom on earth. And that cosmic battle will be gone. It will not exist. It will be shalom. That's the gospel message. That's what he is inviting us to. That's your yes and amen. I want to ask the music team to come onto the platform. Maybe I'll leave this here for now. We're going to take 11:11. Look at that. How often do you see that? We're going to take some time here this morning, friends. It isn't enough that I don't want to just stand here and talk about Jesus as healer. I want you to experience the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. I'm going to invite Pastor Tosh, Pastor Tyler, Pastor Hanukkah, if you would come to the front here. And I'm going to ask some elders, if you're here this morning, elders, maybe just on the side, on the wings there. We've talked a lot about prayer and praying. And I have presented to you this morning the gospel message. And I have talked about Jesus as healer. But I don't want you just to take my word for it. I want to challenge you this morning to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So I'm going to invite all of you to stand. And I'm going to invite you, if you are here this morning and you have not yet said yes, Jesus, I want you to be captain of my life. I want you to be Lord of my life. Jesus, I want to make that decision this morning for the first time. If that is you here this morning, then I want to invite you to come and talk to and pray with. These pastors or elders are here to pray with you. I want to invite you to come forward and talk to one of the pastors or one of the elders. Well, maybe you're here this morning and you've made that commitment at some point in your life when you were young or when you're older or whatever. And you know, and the Lord knows because you know, that you have drifted, so to speak. I did in my 20s. I wandered from the faith. And thank you, Lord, he had patience with me and drew me back. If that is you this morning and you want to say, I want to recommit my life and I want to remember that I did this. I want to put a post down that says, April 20th, 2025, I recommitted myself to following Jesus. Then I invite you to come to one of the pastors or one of the elders and they will pray with you. And listen to me, I also said that Jesus is healer. In every aspect of that, what that means. And if you need healing this morning as it relates to relationally, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever the case is this morning, I want to invite you to lean into this, to take that step and come and talk to a pastor, an elder, and we will pray with you and we will discover Jesus as healer. But you will need to be brave and you will need to step into the aisle and you'll need to walk over to the side, over to the front. And we're going to take some time. And we're going to just be here for a while as we celebrate the risen Christ, Jesus as healer. So I invite you to come. Come for some prayer this morning. Come for healing this morning. Who's going to be the first one that says, yes, I want some healing this morning? Let the enemy inhibit you from coming for prayer this morning, for healing this morning. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would do battle in the spiritual realm and that you would fend off the attacks of the enemy and the lies of the enemy and that you would free your people here this morning to seek you and to seek healing that is here this morning. Lord, I just know that there are people here that need or are seeking and desiring healing, and would that happen here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?
If there are those on the live stream who also are requiring some prayer, have the strength and confidence and conviction to write your prayer.
Gracias, Dios.
Or at some point in time during this day or through this week, contact the church office and have someone pray for you, someone with you. Right now, just give your heart to the Lord. Speak and ask him for his healing.
As those who come forward to pray, to give their requests before the Lord, I want us to sing Made for More together. Just so we can sing to our Lord, but also that we can give those who would like prayer a little bit of privacy. The lyrics will be up on the board or screen, whatever it's called. And we're going to sing together that Jesus has made a way, that we're made for more. We're actually called by name. Those of us who are being prayed for right now, you are so loved. Those of us who are, if you're making eye contact with them right now, you are so loved. There is no shame in prayer. There's no shame in being prayed for. The Lord loves each and every one of you so much. 'Cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven, 'cause I have a future. It's worth living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. I was made for more. So why would I make bed of my shame when the fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. I know who I am. I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future. It's worth the living.
Let this be your prayer today.
I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more.
So why would I?
So why would I make bed of my shame when the fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. Praise
your name this morning, Lord Jesus. The tomb is empty. The cross is empty. The gospel message remains the gospel message. The invitation remains to become part of that gospel. Our elders will be sticking around after the service. Just love, welcome the opportunity to pray with you. We want to finish this morning with a celebratory song. The music team will lead us in as we celebrate the very real living Lord Jesus Christ. So, Aiden, would you bring us into that celebration?
Amen. Amen. So this next song is House of the Lord. And as we sing that, there's so much to celebrate. He is risen indeed. But also, I must confess that as we sing this song, I have a lot of joy right now because, you know, the confession is that when we brought up the experiment, I knew one of the liquids, and I thought to myself, I really hope Gary knows which chemicals that don't go well together. So, needless to say, we didn't blow up, so there's a lot of joy in this morning. So would you stand, would you raise your hands, would you dance, would you worship with us as we have joy in the house of the Lord?
worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opens.